life be released. Let grace be released. And let, Lord, glory come upon your people. And we will give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, please help me put your hands together for my brother who has been accompanying me, Brother Dari, these days. Thank you. That's my chief protocol person. Hallelujah. Okay, let's open our Bibles to our foundation scriptures that we began with. I asked us to read John chapter 9, and we're going to add 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 10 to 13. John chapter 9, verse 1 to 5. John and chapter 9, verse 1 to 5. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered them, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I can see the light coming. Thank you for that song. You must give it to me. I must take it to my church. They must sing it too. All right? I can see the light coming. When the light comes, you manifest. Amen. Because the Bible says the light makes manifest. When the light comes upon you, you manifest. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Let's take 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 to 13. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10 to 13. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now watch this. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death walketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore what? Speak. Let me just make this statement, and I'll take off from where we left off. When we talk about faith, to manifest, it requires faith to manifest. Because the scripture tells us, the Passion Translation of Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes a foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. Faith brings our hope into reality and becomes a foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. Hebrews 11:1, the Passion Translation. So faith is a ladder upon which the invisible works on to become visible. That is why we must understand faith and the workings of it. Faith is the bridge that connects the invisible with the visible realm. Faith is that by which we see the invisible. Even though it's not visible, it's not physical, but we see it. We see the invisible. Faith is that which we make manifest that which hitherto is hidden. Because when the Bible says, through faith, we understand that things which are seen were made out of things which we do not see. Notice what it didn't say. It didn't say that they are not available. It just said we did not see them. Let me say that again. It said, through faith, we understand that the things which we do see were... We understand that things which are seen were made out of the things which we do not see. So it did not say they are not available. It just says they are not seen. And in the course of what I'm teaching, I'm going to do an illustration. You will understand this very clearly. Faith is the currency with which we buy from the portals of heaven. Faith calls what you desire, which you cannot see, out of what you can see. In other words, the Bible says God commanded light out of darkness. How can light be in darkness? But God commands light to come out of darkness. That means that which look as if it's an unpleasant situation, in that is the solution you're looking for. In that is the answer you're looking for. Out of your sickness, your healing exists. Out of that seemingly dead situation, life exists. But faith is what you use to call forth your desire, which you cannot see, out of what you can see. What the enemy tries to make us believe is that what we see is what will stand. But if what we see is not in conformity with the will of God, then we can bring out of that what we do not see, which is what we desire, and which is what is in the will of God for us. I'm just dropping this in. These are things that came into my spirit as I, prepared. I will drop it and I'll continue from where we left off. But I believe somebody needs to hear these things. They didn't just come for coming's sake. It came because somebody needed to hear them. And lastly, faith calls the things that be not as though they are. Remember, it calls the things that be not as though they are. It doesn't cause the thing that be as though they are not. For instance, I am not sick is not faith. They are not speaking faith. They say, there is symptom all over you. You didn't go to work because of the symptom you feel. And then somebody asks you, you say, I'm not sick. Mm-mm, you are not speaking faith. Faith calls the things that be not. What is it that is not? Your healing. As though what? They are. It does not call the things that be as though they are not. The thing that be is that there is symptom all over your body. And you are feeling feverish. And you didn't go to work. You are lying on your bed. And then somebody has to say, I'm not sick. You are sick. But what faith does is, it says, how are you? I am healed. I am healed is faith. Because you are saying, I am healed in the face of sickness. In the face of the symptom. All right. No, we'll get there. So we spoke about ABCD of A. What is A? Agreeing with God's word. All right? Agree with God's word. You must agree with what God said about himself. You must agree with what God said about you. You must agree with what God said about your circumstance. And then you must agree with what God said about the devil. So that you don't mix up the two, God and the devil. You must know what God said about him. You must know what God said about himself. And the next letter is B. All right? You believe God's word. Believe means that you are persuaded enough to take action. All right? And if you believe, what will you do? You speak. If you believe, what will you do? You rejoice. If you believe, what will you do? You'll be at rest. So we're looking at C today, and I will try as much as well run through it and so that I can drop D and E quick. So C is confess. Somebody say confess. Now, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans in chapter 10. Verses 9 and 10. By the way, there are still more copies of the books if you're still interested. Both this and my wife's own. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Now watch this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt what? Be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what? The word confession is the word from the Greek word homologio. Homologio means to speak the same thing. To speak the same thing. You can take that in two ways. Number one, speak the same thing as who? As God. Speak the same thing as God or as God's word. Number two, speak the same thing consistently. In other words, what you said in the morning should be what you are saying in the afternoon and should be what you are saying in the night. What you are saying when things look okay should be what you say when things do not look okay. Speak the same thing. Homologio. You need to confess because God makes use of your words. Look at Hebrews in chapter 3 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Please pardon me if I'm a bit fast, okay? But I will not be too fast for you to grasp it. We're not in a lecture. I said, just stop me and raise your hand. Say, Hebrews 3 and verse 1. Look at what it says here. Wherefore, holy brethren, kadosh tayabu asatayate. Let's pray in tongues for a few minutes. Just not a few minutes, just a little bit. Just pray in tongues. Just pray in tongues. Kes tabahagadashte yada. Vos tete bahakatosi yata. Tumbara nekitisi pahande leodoshte. Figede manato frete gada nemos tombras. Englano kramblone englade sapora deesta. Kes suzo berene kato fredene ma andiatus. Elemando prapapade ne hasustereata. Escaso e daramanto prefeterea ne cridado mescadora. Elemampo popolete e galibaso solete. Salute pande hescadoneta. En la cosi se baradene mahande dusteata. Amen. Yes, the answer you came for, you will receive. In this service tonight, you will hear something that will be the answer for you. Amen. In the situation you are in. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Who? Now watch this. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. He makes intercession for us. Now, here he calls him the apostle and the high priest of our prayer. What does the high priest do in those days? They take things of the people to God, and they take things from God to the people. Is that not so? Now, the Bible calls Jesus now the high priest of our profession. The New King James is the high priest of our confession. What does that mean? That means that the words that you speak, not just any word, but that which is in line with his will, That which is in line with his word, the words that you speak that are in line with what God asks for you, Jesus takes them and presents them to the Father. He is the high priest over our confession. So he walks with your words. Tell your neighbor, Jesus walks with your words. Aposakatele bahandele boshata. Egeluz gabarano seketea. Endora katozia. I wish somebody will hear this. Jesus walks with your words. He walks with your words. That walks your angels walk with your words. Bless the Lord, O ye his angels, Psalm 103, that excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of his word. Notice what they hearken to, the voice of his word. Now, that voice of his word can be your voice speaking his word. So angels hearken to the voice of his word. That means that when you speak God's word, angels come to attention with that word. So the reason some angels are not walking is because what you are hearing is foreign to what they are hearing from you is foreign to them. But let's still finish with this verse and then move on. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Someone say profession. Profession. Say profession. Profession. What's a profession? Well, dictionary definition says a profession is something that you, a work that you do that you earn wages from, that you live by. All right? So, what is that saying to us? In the New King James, it calls the same word confession. That means that what a believer lives by, in the real sense, is not the job that you do, but the words that you speak. Let me say that again. Some of you think it's the world, it's the job you are doing that is giving you what it's giving you. No, it's the words you speak. The believer's real profession is the words that he's speaking. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Whosoever loveth it shall eat what? The fruits thereof. Give me Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 14. Let me show you something. To show you really that it is the words that you are speaking that you are living by, not the job that you are working on. Proverbs 12 and verse 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. What is he saying here? A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Do you have Amplified? Give me Amplified. The Amplified Bible. Okay. From the fruit of his words, a man shall be satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hands shall come back to him as a harvest. What makes your work produce for you is the words of your mouth. Not how hard you work. Now, I'm not against hard work. You should work hard and work smart. But what literally makes your work, your job to produce for you is not the hard work, is the words of your mouth. So you working, an employee working for somebody, that is why it is not producing for you. Because the words of your mouth says, oh, look at what say. From the fruit of his words, A man shall be satisfied with good, and the work of his hands will come back to him as a harvest. You are eating the words of your mouth, not the work of your hands. You are eating from the words of your mouth, not from the work of your hands. So start blessing that job. Yes, you are an employee there, but bless it. There are two parts. Oh, help me, Jesus. I need to move. To your confession. The first part is giving voice to what you believe. The second part is just speaking in line with the word of God. Now, let me show you something here. What do I mean? Oh, I got to help me, Jesus, help me, Lord. Mark 11:23, quickly. King James, thank you. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Can I submit to you that the word say in this verse of scripture has two different Greek words. One of it means say as a regular habit. The other one means say as an answer to a situation. So that means this, that you are expected to be regularly saying something. And what you say becomes a building, becomes bricks that you use to be as a building block, building up your life. Then the other word is a say that when you are in a situation, you answer a situation. Just like the Bible says, Jesus answered the tree. When he went to the tree to eat of it, and the tree said, you are not eating from me. Jesus, Bible says, Jesus answered the tree and said to it, no man eats fruit of thee hereafter. He answered back to that situation. The first say is the say that the woman with the issue of blood used. For if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She kept saying that, and that became a bricks that she was forming and building up the house towards her healing. If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She was saying that before she saw Jesus. Are you with me? And so because she was saying that, oh dear Jesus, help me. Circumstances were arranged to make her to see Jesus to touch. Let me explain something to you. You see, the Holy Ghost took me behind the scene and made me to see something. Why was she saying, if I may but touch the hem of his garment? Why did that come forth from her? It was because by virtue of her ailment, she was not to be seen in public. So all she wanted, can I calm down? All she wanted was an opportunity that she will sneak into the crowd, because she knows he goes to the crowd, and just touch the tip of his garment and walk away. So, in looking at her situation, meditating upon her situation, she saw that was her way out. So, her confession fashioned that out. If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. That also says something. Be careful how you confess. Yes, because your confession will mold how you are going to receive. Yes,
She, by virtue of her confession, she had restricted herself to touching. That if you, she didn't touch, if she didn't have opportunity to touch, she wasn't going to get healed. That was the way she was going to get it. If I may but touch. Are you with me? But that confession that she did, Bible Amplified says, she kept on saying. So it was as she said it, she was building blocks. She was breaking building blocks towards her healing. And but because Bible says the tongue is what by the tongue we map out the course of our life. So by that saying, she mapped out the course towards her healing. And so when Jesus was passing by, a man came to Jesus, Jairus. He said, "My daughter lies at home sick. Come and lay your hands on her and she shall be healed." Can I say something to you? She does not have the clout to go and bring Jesus. But her confession made somebody, oh dear Jesus, made somebody who had the clout to go and bring Jesus away. You don't need to fashion how it's going to happen. You said the word of God. The word of God will fashion how it will happen. The word of God will touch who needs to be touched. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And bring them your way. I said, come and lay your hands. It was because Jairus' house and her house will be in vicinity. For him to go to Jairus, I will pass by her way. So when Jairus was going to her house, when Jesus was going to Jairus' house, she saw her own opportunity of a crowd gathering. And so she, I was it if I may be a touch. So she sneaked in and touched. And was about to leave. And the master said, "Who touched me?" But she had touched. And the Bible says, and she felt in her body that she was healed. So there is a saying that you use to map out your course. Are you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And then there is a saying that you use to answer a situation. What do I mean? In other words, when you are in a situation, a negative situation, it is not, by stripes I am healed. By stripes I am healed. By stripes. No. That is the building blocks. When you are in a situation, you don't say by stripes. You tell sickness, get thee behind me. You answer a situation. Are you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
those are the two parts of confession. But let me now show the illustration I believe I would need to show to you. The scripture, give me Romans chapter 10. It says, verse 10. It says, "For with the heart," someone say with the heart, "man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation." All right. I need two persons here. I need two people. Two people. Just come and stand here. Thank you, sir. Stand here. Houston. This is salvation. Alright? Alright. It says, "With the heart, man believes unto what? Righteousness." Now, this man is your desire. It can be your healing. It can be your manifestation of anything. All right? So, go and hide somewhere. Anywhere that we cannot see you. Just be where we can see you. Now, The Bible says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. What does that mean? As good as believing is, notice that the third part of believing that I said is that when you believe, you do what? You confess, you speak. So this, it leads into this. But when you believe, until you believe, nothing happens. In fact, what you want to manifest is not within your, it's not in your horizon. It's not in your space. Your healing is not in your space. Your deliverance is not in your space. That financial supply you need is not in your space. All right? It's not. So, but Bible says when you, with the heart you believe unto righteousness. What does righteousness mean? Means that you come into right standing with what you're believing for. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 13, it said, these ones, they have not received their faith, but yet they were persuaded of it. That is, I say, believing is being persuaded. Is that not so? And then the next thing the Bible says of it, they saw it from afar. So when you believe, what happens is that what you are, what you desire, it comes into the place where you can see it. So can you appear, sir? So I can see. Someone say, I can see. The light coming. Glory to God. Your believing makes you to see. But Bible says they saw it from afar. So it's afar. Your believing brings you in right standing. Your believing brings you in position. It positions you to receive your manifestation. That's what your believing does. For with the heart, man believes. And that is why you cannot afford to stop at just believing. You can't say, I'm not the speaking type. Are you hearing me? You cannot say, I'm not the speaking type. I'm not the confessing type. Because when you just believe, all you have done is that you are brought into the open that which was hidden so that you can see from afar. Someone say, see from afar. So all you are doing is that you are seeing from afar your healing. You are seeing from afar your breakthrough. You are seeing from afar your financial supply. You are seeing from afar your promotion. But you don't need it afar. You need it where? Here. Someone said, I need it here. So the Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made unto. So let's just say that standing here is the healing I want, or the promotion I want, or the husband I want, or the wife I want. So I take a scripture, and every time I'm speaking a scripture, that scripture, you begin to take a step. You take a step, you begin to move. Because the Bible says, this is salvation. Salvation is manifestation. Salvation is him appearing. Salvation is him showing up. Are you with me? So, for us not to make it too long, can you come and stand so that it can be very, you know, it will come. So every time, let's just say, I'm confessing. I confess, my God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes all grace abound towards me, and I have all sufficiency in all things. He said, though the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, he said, they that trust the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I do not lack. All my needs are supplied. All my needs are supplied. I have that which I need of. I have that which I want. God supplies my need according to his riches in glory. I'm not moved by my empty bank account. I'm not moved. Continue to walk, sir. You walk on, see, your confession, say, unto salvation. That means that it is a confession that makes you grab your salvation. Grab him. Thank you, sir. So, when you don't confess, salvation does manifest. Thank you, sirs. Thank you. Are you listening to me? When you do not confess, can you tell your neighbor for me? When you do not confess, salvation doesn't manifest. Healing does not manifest. Breakthrough does not manifest. Are you hearing me? That is why you have to confess. Because confession, they say, brings possession. Hear me. I'm talking to somebody right now. You don't have an option. You don't have a choice about confessing. You have to. You have to. What your mouth does not say, your hands cannot handle. In fact, can I say this to you? When the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue, the word power is the word YAWD in the Hebrew. I don't know how it's pronounced, whether yod or whatever. But that word means an open hand. The word for power means a hand. In other words, he's saying the tongue is the hand in the realm of the spirit. So until you take hold of something, it is not yet yours. Listen, sir, can you, Pastor Martin, can you stand, sir? Avo, I'm offering you this book. No, before we take it, just be looking at me, don't take it. I'm offering you this book. Is it now his? Is he in possession of it? When does he have possession of it? When he takes it from my hand. Your mouth is what you used to take. If your mouth is shut, your hand is down in the realm of the spirit. You have not taken anything. He said, but I believe. Yes. 2 Corinthians 4. It says, we believe, and therefore what? We speak. We also believe, and also we speak. So until you speak, you have not taken. You are just still looking at it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You are looking at it from afar. But when you speak, then you take. When I finish, I give it back to you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That's why you have to speak. Tell your neighbor, that's why you have to speak. That's why you have to speak. And someone said, this is how we manifest.
This is how we manifest.
When we speak.
When we speak.
It's how we manifest. When we speak. We don't manifest when we don't speak. Are you listening? We don't manifest when we don't what? Speak. Your speaking is your signing up for a parcel that has been dropped at your doorway. When you don't speak, you have not signed up for it. You know, when a courier brings a parcel to you, before they let go of it to you, you must what? Sign for it. When you don't sign for it, say, this is my parcel. I know, but sir, you have to sign. No, I'm not signing. I'm sorry. What will they tell? I'm sorry, sir, we can't leave it. Except you sign for it. When you speak, it's what you have signed up for what you want. Hallelujah. Let me move on.
If you have the book, you finish it. What is there? If you don't have enough, what I have said will be enough for you. All right? The next letter is what? D. Someone say D. D stands for doing the word. D stands for what? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Oh, someone said, this is how we manifest. All right. Sorry, before I do that, give me 2 Corinthians 4:13. I need to show you something here. It's 2 Corinthians 4:13. Let's take it from 10. Let's take it from 10. Somebody needs to understand that speaking is not always, because sometimes it looks as if you say this because, you know, you cannot, it's easy to speak when, you know, you can speak when things are, and can I say something to you? Can you start speaking even when things are still okay? I don't wait till I get sick, which I don't often. Someone was asking me, when last did you take malaria tablet? I said, I can't remember. And now that's, I can't remember. It's so far, far, far behind. So I don't wait till I feel symptoms before I say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. That Jesus has carried my sickness and disease upon his own body. And I'm healed right now. I don't wait for symptoms. When symptoms come, what I say is this. You don't have a place in this body. So go back to where you came from. That's what I say. But I don't wait for that. Every day, almost every day, I say it. He said, you bless my bread and water and you take sickness away from the midst of me. So sickness is not in the midst of my body. But I said that to say, it's easier to confess when things are good. Are okay. So do so. Because when you do so, when things turn bad, it's easier on you to resist. All right? However, this scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:13, is on recent, I saw the context of it and I appreciated it the more. For time's sake, which I don't have, you read it from verse 7. And then you realize Paul was saying that this is what we go through. Give me from verse 7. I'm going to be very fast with it. Somebody will be helped by this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled. Watch this. On every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. That's Paul, the apostle, talking. Troubled on every side. Your being troubled does not make you, that you are a sinner. Are you understand what I'm saying? Your being troubled does not mean, God has abandoned you. If that was the case, then Paul was abandoned. He said, yet not destroyed, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Watch it, let's continue. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit. How does this fit with all that he's saying? Let me show you how it fits. Let's read it. Do you have message? Bible, give me message. And let me take it from verse 10. For time's sake. But now you'll understand this. What they did to Jesus, listen to this, they do to us. Trial and torture. Mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Our lives are at constant risk for Jesus' sake. We should make Jesus' life all the more evident in us. While we are going through the worst. Oh my God. While we are going through the worst, you are getting in on the best. He's talking to his listeners, the people he's preaching to. Why are they having the best? Because in spite of the worst he's going through, he's delivering the word to them. That's why a pastor can maybe have no food in his house, but come and speak the word and bless people. A pastor may be barren, you know, the wife may not have a child yet. He comes and he prays for people. Why? Death is walking in them, but life is being given out. While we are going through the worst, you are getting in on the best. That's why I said in verse 7, we have a treasure in this earthen vessel. There's a treasure. It is not affected by what you are going through. It is not impaired by what you are going through. That is why a pastor should not be preaching out of his experiences. Whether you don't have food to eat or not, doesn't make the word of God less true. You understand what I'm saying? No! The word of God is still true. Whether you have the experience, listen to me, our experiences is not what validates the word of God. It's God that validates his word. Let me finish. Time is, oh my God, help me. Now, look at verse 13. While we are going through the worst, you are in on the best. Now, watch this. We are not keeping this quiet, not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, I believed it, so I said it. We say what we believe while we are going through the worst. I want you to add that so that you understand the context of that scripture coming in there. In other words, while we are going through the worst, we still speak what we believe. Not what we're going through. Are you listening to me? So you say, Pastor, you don't know how I'm feeling. If you know how I'm feeling, you can't be telling me I should be confessing God's word. Because it's not, I can't, how will I be confessing I'm healed? When everybody says, let them see the symptom. They will see the glory also. Of your healing. Do you think it was funny for Abraham to be asking Abraham, father of nations? So you need to understand, my brother, my sister, while you are going through the worst, speak what you believe. Confess what you believe. Speak in line with the word of God. Speak in harmony with the word. And what you speak, Bible says the tongue, it creates pathways for things to happen. It will make it happen. Jesus, who is the high priest of your confession, he presents it to the Father and says, Father, he's still speaking what we say. It has to happen. Angels will come attend to you. Because they hearken to the voice of his word. So D is doing the word. Someone say doing the word. Joshua 1:8, quickly. I'll say one or two things on that one and then I'll move on to E. Balabo shata kateliabaya. Someone say this is how we manifest. We agree with God's word. We believe his word. We confess his word. We do his word. That's how we manifest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. Now watch this. It says, this book of the law should not depart where? Where? Should not depart from your mouth. One of the things that speaking does is that you are also meditating by your speaking. And says, when you do that, it brings you to the place where you observe to do. What does observe mean? You see to do. So what confession does, what confession does, it brings you to the place where you do. If that woman said, if I'm able to touch, and all she did was sit in her own Bible and touch, you cannot confess long enough and it will not move you. It will move you. Confession will bring action. The first action that a man who believes does is that he speaks. The second action that a man who believes does and speaks does is that he moves you to do something in the line of your desire. Let me say that again. Pardon that I have to rush, but I have to finish on the time I'm giving. I love obeying the rule of the house. Listen to this again. What confession does, all right, is that it moves you to do. Let me start. When you believe, it moves you to speak. When you speak, it moves you to do. Are you understand what I'm saying? The first action of believing is speaking. And then when you speak, it moves you what? To do. There is always something to do as an act of your faith. Don't force it. It will come by itself while you are speaking. There's a time God told me to believe him for a car. So I made the necessary prayer and I started confessing that I have that car. Then one day the Spirit of God said, your garage is filled with junk. And yet you say you have a car. If there's a car, there will junk be there. So I had to go and empty that garage of all the junk there. Are you with me? That is acting in line with the desire. But I didn't just do it. I did it out of an instruction. Some of us, we just do things for doing sake. Don't just do. This sister, when she was, because she was believing God, she went and bought a wedding dress. And so, me too, I'm believing God for a husband. I'm going to go for my wedding. I'm going to buy a wedding dress. Were you told to do that? And she was believing God for the fruit of the womb. So she went and bought a cot and made a room ready. And so, me too, I'm going to. Were you told to do that? You are not told. Do what you are told to do. The first thing you are told to do is confess scriptures over your life. Whatever that scripture you are confessing moves you to do, that's what you do. Not just do what somebody else did. Are you listening to me? He observes to do. He sees to do. It is the doer that is blessed in his deed. And lastly, he expects. Someone say expects. E is for expectation. The Bible says, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not what? Proverbs 23:18. Thine expectation shall not be cut short. Listen to this. It is clear that whatever has a beginning will have an end. It is clear. So he says, surely or certainly, there is an end. That things or situations will come to an end, you can be sure about that. But the thing is that it is your expectation that determines whether it ends the way you want it to end. It's your expectation that determines whether it ends the way you want it to end. Expectation is the end point in receiving a manifestation of your desires. Expectation is the end point in receiving a manifestation of your desire. And the Spirit of God gave me this thing, and I wrote it in the book. Your expectation is your rope, and your desire is that kite. What do I mean? I don't know whether some of us are old enough to remember. In those days, we make kites. Yes, you tie rope to it. The longer your rope, the higher the kite flies. That kite is your desire. That rope is your expectation. We know with that rope, we can draw the kite back down. We can release it. So the rope is your expectation. With that rope, you can bring the kite to yourself. Your expectation is that rope that you draw in your desire. Someone say, I have expectation. There is no reason why you come to, and that's, you see, expectation is what makes, listen to me. When you come to the house of God for services, expectation is what makes the man of God who is preaching go outside of his notes and say something that concerns you. Are you listening? It's because somebody used that and drew. So don't ever come to the house of God without an expectation. So this is how we manifest. Stand to your feet with me. Say it like you believe it. This is how we manifest. We agree with God's word. We believe his word. We confess his word. We do his word. And we have expectation. Say it again. This is how we manifest. We agree with God's word. We believe his word. We confess his word. We do his word.